What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
DSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in, second hour here on Wednesday morning, and Phil Devitt is off this week. I believe I forget if he's coming back Friday or Monday, but he is off this week, so just more for me and you to discuss. And as I mentioned in the last hour, there is an audit that will take place today of a couple of New Bedford's polling locations from the presidential election, but I want to remind you, if you missed me discussing it in the last hour, that this is nothing went wrong in the New Bedford election. This is just a mandatory thing that the state requires following a presidential election, that it randomly selects a few precincts. Well, 3% of the polling locations across the state are selected for a hand count audit just to make sure that everything is, you know, matching up. And so two New Bedford polling locations will be part of that. And I mentioned the precincts earlier, but I didn't mention exactly where they are. So Ward 5 Precinct B, which is the Kennedy Donovan Center South, and Ward 6 Precinct B, the Hazelwood Community Center. So these two precincts, they're auditing their tallies in the election. And that's going to be happening today. It's going to be a hand recount happening today in the Ashley Room at City Hall at 4 p.m. And this is open to the public if you want to go there and watch this. And the results must be posted to the Secretary of State's website within 10 days of receiving the results. So this is your chance to kind of see what this process is like, if that's something that you're interested in doing. But again, no, nothing wrong with the election. This is just, these two precincts were randomly selected by the state to say, please do a hand recount of these so that we can, you know, have all of those results for our audit. They're also doing it in Dartmouth, Fairhaven, and Acushnet, which, as I said, you know, if it's 3% of all the polling locations in the state and they're selected randomly, it does seem kind of odd that you've got two in New Bedford and then you've got Dartmouth and you've got Fairhaven and you've got Acushnet. It's kind of a concentrated area. But maybe they have to pick some from each area. I don't know. All I could see on the website is that it's 3%. So if you want to see that again, 4 p.m. in the Ashley Room at City Hall. Also, we were talking about this lawsuit that was dismissed by a federal judge, brought about by Joyce Rowley, the woman who has long championed for the elephants at Buttonwood Park Zoo, Emily and Ruth, to be sent to an animal sanctuary. It's her second time suing the city over the elephants, this time claiming that they were receiving improper care and that it was, you know, harming the elephants, and a judge threw it out. You can read all the details at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, but we can certainly discuss that more if you would like to. And then we were discussing this new policy that Nuno's Restaurant in New Bedford has announced, and kind of this policy overall for restaurants in general, of they were now charging you, well, you have to now make your reservation online and give a credit card number when you make your reservation. And then if you don't show up for your reservation, they charge you $5 a person. And the public sentiment on this has kind of been overwhelmingly for this step. And in fact, most people saying you should be charging more if people no-show. So we can discuss that more as well. But I did mention that there's another big blow to the newspaper industry that I wanted to share with you. And that is the news that the Providence Journal is closing its printing facility for good next year. Gannett, which is the parent company of the Providence Journal and the Standard Times and the Cape Cod Times and USA Today, and says that the decision was prompted by an insurmountable supply chain issue. A spokesperson for Gannett said, this is according to WPRI, the press utilizes specific plates produced by a single manufacturer who will be discontinuing their production, rendering our press inoperable. That means 136 full and part-time employees at that facility will lose their jobs. Workers that were in charge of printing and packaging the newspaper for distribution. We deeply appreciate the many years of service our valued colleagues have dedicated to our Providence facility and the local community. Now, keep in mind that some of those folks used to work here. Used to work in Fairhaven when they would print the newspaper here. Or maybe worked in Hyannis when they would print the newspaper there. Or Taunton, or all these other places that when they regionalized and said, we're going to print everything out of Providence, many people lost their jobs, but some were able to go and work in Providence. Now, it says here in WPRI's report that Gannett is looking at shifting the paper's printing to New Jersey, which is something that the Providence Journal reported. The move isn't expected to significantly impact the delivery of print editions to subscribers. What? I'm trying to wrap my head around that. How does that work? They're going to be printing the newspaper in New Jersey, and it isn't expected to significantly impact the delivery of print edition to subscribers. All right. So you're going to drive 4 or 5 hours with the newspapers, and that's not going to significantly impact the delivery of the paper. You know what it is going to significantly impact? The news that you have in the newspaper. Because now what that means is for Providence, your deadline is going to be 6 to 7 hours before you need to have that paper delivered. And four or five hours earlier than it is right now. And as it is right now, they're already dealing with earlier deadlines than they used to deal with. Trust me, I know. I worked in the company. I have family that still works on the delivery end of it. And so I know from both, and I've done that job for my family member. It's my dad. When he goes on vacation, I would cover for him. I can't anymore because I'm up early to do this show. But previously, I would cover for him if he took time off. And I would do his route. And you are waiting for those newspapers then to have come from Providence. So you're waiting for the Cape Cod Times. You're waiting for the Standard Times to arrive because they're no longer produced locally. They're produced in Providence, and you've got to wait. And they have an order in which they do them. And if something went wrong, if the press shut down for a bit, if they had a problem, if something jammed up, that just made things take longer and longer. And if there was traffic, if there was construction, road construction, slows things down. So all of that factored into it. Now you're coming from New Jersey. So yeah, you might still be able to get your paper when you open the door to your house at 6 a.m. It might still be sitting there on your doorstep. But that paper now was probably, those are stories that probably had to be filed by 4 or 5 p.m. the day before. Because you've got to edit the stories. You've got to do the layout of the stories, which, by the way, most of that is done out of the area now, too. Nothing better than having people in Texas edit a local story that don't know anything about what goes on here or anything about the area. And then they're doing the layout, and then they're printing it all out there, and then, you know, printing it in New Jersey and then driving that to here. And what do they tell you? Get the latest information at our website, because they don't want you to buy the newspaper anymore. They don't want you to keep getting the physical newspaper delivered. It's a profit loss for them to print out the newspaper. They just want you to go online, subscribe, and then put everything behind a paywall. And yeah, people like to complain, oh, I go to your website. I go to the WBSM website, Tim, and there's so many ads on it. Yeah, you know what, though? Those ads are why you don't have to pay for our website. It's why you don't have a paywall that stops you from reading the story that you want to read. And so that when you share it, somebody says, oh, why'd you share this? I can't read it. I don't have a subscription. You don't have to deal with that with us. You also don't have to wait for it to show up at your door either. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Tim, I read this story about that, but then I saw a news report on Channel 12 out of Providence that said the Standard Times is going to be printed in like Amesbury or somewhere like that up in Massachusetts.
Be helpful.
Yeah, so I'm not sure either one of the stories is wrong or I missed something. But
well, this is what the one that I'm reading here is specifically about the Providence Journal being printed in New Jersey. So, you know, they might be having, you know, the Cape Cod Times, the Taunton Gazette, all those, because those are smaller regional papers and they don't have to print as many. They can probably get away with doing those in some of these other presses. But, you know, still, like, if you're in Providence, you're going to wait for your paper to come from New Jersey? It doesn't make any sense.
Even coming from Amesbury or somewhere like that, that's another couple hours that it's going to add to, you know, getting it down here. And we know the traffic. I mean, it's not good. The death of the paper is very clearly near, I think.
And I couldn't believe that they, you know, for a while they were kind of offsetting some of the cost because, you know, you have these magazines that are out and the Standard Times would print those and they would print the weeklies and they would have all these other jobs they would do to make sure that it was still viable to keep that open. Well, a lot of that stuff dried up. And I can't believe that somebody hasn't come up with a more small scale printing operation, because you didn't need to run the giant operation they had over in Fairhaven to be able to do this. It could have been done on a smaller scale, and I can't believe they haven't thought to invest in that locally.
Yeah, or even a smaller format paper. I mean, you know, something that prints on a smaller laser printer. And I know that sounds crazy, but some people truly want something in their hand to read, and if they can't afford to do the big format, maybe it's time to change it. But
yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
They already made the paper super thin in terms of like the actual paper stock they use and less pages and all of that. I mean, you're dealing in 10 years, there won't be a print newspaper anymore.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was a couple of years. My parents are elderly, so they want the paper. Mm-hmm. They were paying. They never called the Standard Times to ask about a good price. I think he was paying $100 a month, some kind of amount. And I called up and I got him, and they got it down to like, I don't know, $25 a month. But my parents didn't even pay attention to it when they're billing him almost $100 a month for it. And I'm like, you know, do you want to stop it? No, we want a printed paper. So I'm like, all right, it is what it is. There's those people out there, but.
I'll give you a little tip for people that want to still buy a physical paper. And I mentioned this before. They have a deal with Dollar Tree, where the Dollar Tree locations get a certain number of papers every day. So if you're there to get that paper early, you get that paper that they're charging, I don't know, like three something for now. You get it for $1.25.
A dollar, yeah. It's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
Got to get out of bed, though, and go do it.
But that is true, yes.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tim. Have a good day.
You as well. And bye-bye. Yeah, that was my favorite thing when I first moved out on my own. And because, you know, we got the newspaper off and on when I was a kid. Because my parents worked in the newspaper industry. My mom worked in circulation in putting the Sunday paper together. And my dad worked in delivery. Not all the time. But, you know, from time to time, he needed extra money. He'd pick up a paper route early in the morning before his regular job. And, you know, there were stretches of time when he did that for years. And now he does it, you know, for his full-time job. But this was something that my family knew. And we've watched over the years as it has shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. But they would, you know, they would sometimes have a subscription. Sometimes they wouldn't. It all depended on what the price was and, you know, what was going on in the world, if it was worth having a newspaper. But I used to love, you know, reading the Cape Cod Times when I lived in Sandwich and reading the Standard Times when we first moved here. But then when I moved out on my own, I was working for the paper. They wouldn't give me a subscription, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous. It's like, I'm going to pay for the paper that I write. Like, there were times when I had, you know, multiple articles in the sports section and maybe a couple of things, you know, maybe a dine out, maybe a feature article. I'm like, I've got 7 or 8 bylines in this paper and I'm going out and paying for it. But they wouldn't give anybody a free paper. They said to the employees, we have papers here in the newsroom if you want one, but we're not delivering them to your home. Okay, fine. I guess I can understand that. I didn't go in every day, but I get it. So I subscribed to the paper. And I used to love waking up in the morning and getting the paper, reading that. I'd read it before I even went to work at the diner, because I'd go to work at 6 a.m. and the paper would be outside at 4. And then things got later and later and more expensive and more expensive. And finally, I just stopped getting the paper because it wasn't worth it anymore to not have it ready when I wanted to read it. Because by the time I get to work, I can read it there for free. We got multiple copies of every paper every day. And I'm sure a lot of people kind of went through that same process of, yeah, I can read it on the bus. I can read it at the diner when I go in for my breakfast. I can read it at the library later on. And you saw that start to shrink. But then when you started showing up at 7 a.m. with the paper, well, now people really don't want it. You know, sorry, caller. I think I accidentally hung up on you there. If you want to call back. You know, those old 50s and 60s sitcoms where the dad is leaving for the day. He walks out the door. He says goodbye to mom, gives her a kiss. She hands him the coffee, which is, you know, they didn't have takeout cups. He's literally taking the mug in the car with him. And then he bends over and he picks up the paper and takes that with him. Those days are gone when the paper's not out there already. And we used to get so many phone calls. I got more phone calls on the sports desk about people complaining about their paper not getting there when they want it, not being put in the right spot. You know, so many of those calls all the time that people eventually just threw up their hands and said, not worth it, not worth getting it delivered anymore. 508-996-0500. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the quality of the reporting and the people that work there. Of course, they're not investing enough in that. But the people who have worked there and the people that I certainly worked with did their best in spite of all the challenges that we had facing us financially. So this is not an indictment on the quality of the product. It's a quality of the business operation. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. I grew up in Lowell, Massachusetts, and we never even had a morning paper. The Lowell Sun has always, since I've been a kid, been delivered in the evening, probably around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock at night. So I don't know, you know, if that would make travel time any better or if people would lose their minds because they don't have their morning paper. But, yeah, I've never known anything really different other than, you know, when I've moved around place to place.
The Standard Times was an afternoon paper when I first came to the area. And I think it actually might have been when I started working there, too. And I think it became a morning paper after I started writing for them. So it was that, you know, that's kind of a big shift for people. But I grew up kind of the same way. My grandfather got his papers at 3 a.m. every day.
Yeah, they still do it in Lowell. So I don't know. Maybe if travel time for the physical paper is getting harder and harder and further away, they might make the shift like that. Who knows?
Maybe that's why they're going to print, you know, these papers somewhere else, because they don't need those presses till the afternoon for those later editions. So maybe that's it.
Yeah, just a thought. Have a good one.
You as well. Take care. I can tell you that one of the things that they did as the Standard Time shifted is they had people come in later in the day. So it used to be that you would get somebody, you know, if you called over there, you could get somebody on the phone 6-7 o'clock in the morning, handling news, handling other things. Then they started having people come in later. So their 9 or 10 hour day became a 6 or 7 hour day. And maybe that's an idea. Maybe going back to an afternoon paper can solve some issues. Maybe have the fact that these are morning papers is what's allowing them to be printed somewhere else and brought down. I can tell you this, if the Projo became an afternoon paper and then you're getting it delivered from New Jersey, forget it. That paper is still being written the night before because they're not getting on those roads and delivering a paper. You know, the fact that they can get on the road late at night and deliver it is what allows them to come up from New Jersey. But how has somebody like the Standard Times and the Taunton Gazette and the New Bedford Standard Times not come together and said, you know what? The management of Gannett not looked at this problem and said, why can't we just do a small regional press that only has to print? I don't even know what the circulation is of each of those papers now. 15,000, 20,000? When I worked at the Standard Times, the daily circulation was something like 35,000 a day. And that was, I stopped working there in 2020. So it's got to be less than that now. So let's just say it's 20,000 for each paper, which would be generous for the Cape Cod Times. You can't tell me that you can't find a facility where you could print 60,000 papers that's closer than Amesbury. That would be worth it. Here's the thing. They just don't want to do it anymore. They're trying to do everything they can to get you to stop subscribing to the print paper so they can stop producing the print paper. They want you to just get everything online because that doesn't cost nearly as much. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break. We'll be back in a few.
The music sent, gotta take chances. Go ahead, just do it, and trust yourself. There's a soul in the city watching over us tonight. There's a soul in the city saying everything's gonna be alright. So bring over some your own Motown records.
Welcome back in. That is Rod Stewart and the Temptations, the Motown song. I think that was, what, 90 or 91. Great album. And that was, I think, kind of his last big pop hit. He had the Unplugged album that came out after that with Reason to Believe and a few other songs that were not exactly unplugged, too, in some cases. They were pretty rocking. But Ronnie Wood appeared on that little Small Faces reunion. But it was that song, I think, was kind of the last big hit for Rod Stewart on the pop charts. But I could be wrong. That's just my recollection. 508-996-0500. app chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. We've been talking about a number of issues this morning, and we'll get back into that. But before I do, I want to remind you all that this Saturday is our 32nd annual teaming up with the United Way of Greater New Bedford for the Hunger Heroes Project. It is our Hunger Heroes food drop. So you can join us at Aldi in Dartmouth this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon to donate the necessary Thanksgiving items that, you know, the side dish items that help make up the meal. They're going to put together 1,000 Thanksgiving baskets for needy families in the area. And so we're looking for things like cranberry sauce, instant mashed potatoes, stuffing, canned yams, things along those lines. And there's a whole list at WBSM.com for you to check out. Just look at the Hunger Heroes food drop tab at the top there. And we're also, you know, we're trying to make it easy for you so that when you pull up to where we're going to be, we'll probably be right by the front door of Aldi again. When you pull up, you don't even have to get out of the car. We'll take it out of the car for you. We don't want this to be extra work for you. So we'll have people from WBSM and Fun 107 there and the United Way and other volunteers. We'll take it all out of your car. Or if you don't have anything already, you can go into Aldi and buy it. They're going to have a section set up right by the register of all the items they're looking for. You can grab one, two, a couple, whatever you want to get, and purchase that and bring it outside and donate it to us. And in fact, if you want, come and grab me. I'll go in with you and I'll push the cart so that you don't have to even worry about loading it into the cart or any of that. I'll help you out. And then also, if you can't make it to Aldi, you can donate online, whether it be just making a monetary contribution for them to be able to go out and buy these items, or they have their Amazon wish list. So again, all the information is right there at WBSM.com. But we're going to be down there at Aldi this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon at the Aldi in the Dartmouth Mall. Hunger Heroes Food Drop is made possible by our friends at Ish Schwartz Appliance, First Citizens Federal Credit Union, Carefree Homes, and Aaron Pools and Spas. So I hope to see a lot of you out there. The weather should be pretty nice. I've been keeping an eye on the forecast. A lot of times it is, you know, cold and windy when we do these Hunger Hero food drops, but it looks like we'll be in good shape on Saturday. So come on by and hang out with us and drop off some items to help these needy families this Thanksgiving. And we can, you know, we can talk about the station. We can talk about the election. We can talk about what's going on in the world. We can talk about this story we have today about Nuno's restaurant in New Bedford now requiring a credit card to make a reservation. And if you no-show your reservation, they're going to charge you $5 a person. And apparently this is a much more prominent strategy in the restaurant industry than people might be aware of. I certainly wasn't aware of it. I don't make reservations. I don't usually go out to eat like in person and sit down a whole heck of a lot. A lot of times I just grab stuff takeout. And if I do go in, it's just me. So I might sit at the bar. I prefer not to. I prefer to sit at a table. And that's just because I like to have a back on my seat. But I generally don't have to wait for a table if I go in because I'm a party of one. There's always a small place they can stick me. I don't use the Open Table app to find out when I can get a table somewhere and how long the wait is. I don't worry about any of that stuff. But people who do make these reservations, apparently it's a not uncommon practice for them to make a reservation and then not show up. As somebody mentioned on Facebook, what they'll do is they'll make reservations at multiple places and then decide right before where they're actually going to go. That's terrible. What kind of a selfish jerk does something like that? In fact, if you're somebody that does that, I'd like you to call in and explain yourself. Like, where do you think that that's a fair thing to do? Holding up tables at multiple restaurants. Because nothing is more important than your decision of where you're going to go to eat. So let other people suffer as long as, you know, you can make that choice last minute and still get your table. But then, I've seen other people that have said they should charge more than $5 a person or that other restaurants do charge more than $5 a person. Some charging $25 a person for a no-show reservation. And by the way, that doesn't mean if you make a reservation, you have to go. It means that if you can't make your reservation, you call them in advance and let them know. You don't just not show up. And that the other part of it is that you are holding up people that could have that table. You are holding up people that could, you know, that might be looking for a reservation at that time and instead now have to take one 45 minutes to an hour later. A server who thinks that they're going to have a party at their table at that time so they don't take another party that's coming in. I mean, it's a selfish thing to do. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
You make reservations at multiple places?
At least five.
Why?
Because I feel like it.
But why would you make reservations at a place you're not going to go to?
Because I might change my mind.
So you're going to hold up four other places?
They charge enough. They'll be fine.
They're literally complaining about the fact that this is hurting their business.
Well, I guess that's their problem.
So do you really do this, or are you just saying that you're doing it because you like to call in and be a jerk about things?
I just like to call in and be a jerk sometimes.
That's what I thought.
See you later.
Have a good day. Okay. Just do me a favor, restaurants. Seat me at a table away from his. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. I figured he was just, you know, poking.
I figured he was just trying to stir up some trouble.
Yeah. And then I was going to say, well, that's me. What are you going to do? Call the restaurant police? But I don't do that. Because me, I just go to the bar anyways. I don't mind eating at the bar, you know.
Well, you're a considerate person. You would feel bad about the fact that you are, you know, forcing somebody out of, or, you know, you're also a considerate person. You would call if you couldn't make your reservation.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, because I would feel really guilty. but I've never had to make reservations anywhere. It's just not enough people for me to say, oh, you know, better make reservations. I've never been to that restaurant, and I've been picturing it, and I think I finally know where it is. And the parking there is kind of bad. If you're going to go, you definitely want to go when the mills are, you know, the employees are gone. If that's where I think it is.
It's the people that are parking around there aren't, it's not that far down. So the people that are parking there are more people that live in the neighborhood. People that are going to, there's a couple of markets there. You know, like Amaral's mm-hmm. is right over there. So like that's...
Oh,
you
know what? I don't know where this is then.
So when you go by, like, say you're coming from Market Basket and you go by Riverside Park, and then there's that stop sign right after the skate park at Riverside Park with all the skateboard ramps. Right after that stop sign, New Nose is on your right.
Oh.
What did it used to be before? Was it MNC Cafe? Is that what used to be there?
Hmm.
So it's a kind of across from Martin Driving School.
Yeah, no, I got you now. Yeah, I can visualize it. Wow. So going back to the elephant. So the one thing I do know about elephants, I think everybody out there knows this, they will die of a broken heart. They grieve just like human beings when there's a loss, but they're in a clan and they grieve together. Now, when the other elephant passes away with her husband, that other elephant is going to be all alone, and she'll probably die of a broken heart opposed to her being, you know, older and outliving her, you know, being in captive. So I was curious, does the zoo in Rhode Island, do they have elephants there?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I don't know the last. So I haven't been to Roger Williams in a long time.
That's the name of it.
But I don't know if they do. I haven't been to Stone Zoo in a long time either in Stoneham. But I think they had them, and I believe Capron Zoo might have them in Attleboro. But I'm not totally sure.
I hope that they relocate the last one because, I'm sorry, I don't know which one is which.
So Ruth is the one that's in hospice.
Well, okay, so Emily is the one that will be alone. Yeah, so I hope that they do do not leave her alone, because I think that is just going to be the most saddest thing out of this.
Well, there are some elephant experts that have said that it's more detrimental to them to move them from the home that they've known. So taking them out of New Bedford would be a bigger issue.
Well, I just hate to know she's going to be by herself.
And besides, you don't know how much they get along. You know, maybe Emily's sick of Ruth. Maybe she's like, I'm finally going to have the place to myself.
No,
I'm teasing. I'm just being facetious.
Elephants are they love their clan. They're very, yeah, no. So, yeah, I just get really sad over it. So I can't even think about it because I literally will cry. So I don't know what else to talk about. Oh, the weather. Yeah. So you said the food drive, the weather's going to be good.
From what I've seen, yeah. I don't know how windy it'll be that day yet, but it certainly should be dry. Unfortunately, because we need the rain, but I was hoping it would hold off for that day.
Yeah, we do need the rain. So why were you saying everybody better shut their sprinklers off? Where is this? What's going on?
The city put out a notice saying that they're prohibiting the use of outdoor sprinkler systems for the immediate future because of this drought that we're in.
Oh, okay. I was thinking to myself, who's still using it?
Well, a lot of people still do. A lot of people try to keep their lawns as green as they can until we get a really good solid frost. We haven't had a really good solid frost yet.
No, I know one morning I woke up and there was frost here. I actually put the heat on for the whole night. First night. I was cold all night.
Well, you have to with a night like last night.
Okay, good. So it wasn't just me. Yeah, I broke down. I said, okay, let's do the heat. Oh, and by the way, I got through on the insurance thing. They're going to do it, whether I like it or not. They're doing it to everybody. It took me 4 hours to get through. I didn't start until about 10:30. And by, I don't know, 2:30, I finally got answers. And I had to, it was really hard to get any through to any kind of particular type of numbers. But so, yeah, they're just going to go ahead and do it. And they are increasing it to $380 a month. So me, I rounded off to 400. So, wow.
Well, I mean, at least you got your answers.
I know, right? Thank God. Perseverance paid off. But so that's all that's new on my end of the world.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Okay. You too. Bye.
And I'm going to take a break here coming up at 508-996-0500. I just looked at the forecast for Saturday. 61 degrees. Sun and a few passing clouds. Winds north-northwest. 10 to 15 miles an hour. So it shouldn't be too bad at all. In fact, you know, can probably just get away with wearing a sweatshirt out there on Saturday. And I just got a nice new WBSM fleece vest. So I'll probably be rocking that on Saturday. So I hope to see you down there at the Hunger Heroes food drop. All right, I've got to take this break. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. Thanks to DSY and Nana for confirming that, yes, Nuno's was formerly MNC Cafe. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good, thank you. So I heard your question about the restaurants and reservations, and I can tell you from experience, I've made reservations for large parties before, but I never... The thought would never cross my mind to call more than one restaurant. There have been times where I've called the restaurant back to sort of tweak my reservation to say, hey, I thought it was 10 people. It's really 9, out of respect. With restaurants being so competitive, and having challenges financially already, I would think that you would lose customers. You know, if you're turning away customers from the door because you think you're holding these tables, it can affect inventory. I would imagine it could affect reputation, right? So never, ever in my mind would I find that acceptable. So I just wanted to say that.
And so you don't have an issue with them charging if people no-show?
Well, this is the thing. I've noticed it more in other states, like when I've gone somewhere maybe special with my husband, just the two of us. Like I want to say maybe Texas, California, I may have noticed that they did a charge. I've never noticed it in Massachusetts. I would say if I called the police in Massachusetts to make a reservation, and they tried to charge me or to say that, I probably would back away and just go to another place, quite honestly. I can see why they would do it, but I'm not a fan of that practice.
Understandable. All right. Thank you for the call.
Anytime. Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye.
And that is, you know, that's one of the things that people are commenting is, well, the people who charge, you know, the people who get charged the $5 when they don't, the $5 a person when they don't show up, they're never going to go back to Nuno's. Like, they're going to be upset about the fact that they got charged $5 a person and they're never going to go back. Well, see, here's the thing. A couple of issues with that. One, I don't know if that's the case because they're going to know that they're going to get charged that $5. They're being told that in advance. So it's not like it's going to be a surprise to them because they had to go online and make that reservation, assuming, you know, they read everything. Then the other part of it, too, is so who do you think Nuno's wants to come back? Who do they want to have as a repeat customer? The person who came in and wanted a table but couldn't get one? Or the person who made a reservation and then didn't have the courtesy to call ahead that they weren't going to, or to call and let them know that they weren't going to make it and just no-show them. So if they end up losing somebody over it, I think they'd rather lose the person that didn't, that wasn't considerate enough to cancel the reservation. I think that ultimately they'd rather lose nobody and that they're just hoping that this safeguards people from just not even, it's not even a matter of make a reservation, make sure you show up for the reservation. It's a matter of if you're not going to show up, just call. That's all they're really asking. 508-996-0500. Let me take my final break of the hour, and we'll be right back. And welcome back in. Hey, are you a soap opera fan? I know we've had a little bit of soap opera talk here in the last couple of weeks, but congratulations to The Young and the Restless. I've never watched a moment of it. I think the only time I've ever seen The Young and the Restless was that little scene that aired in Mr. Mom when he loses his job and he just sits at home and watches that all the time. I think that's what it was. Pretty sure that was it. But anyway, congratulations to them. They are airing their 13,000th episode today. And there's somebody out there that's probably seen all 13,000. My mom has seen almost every episode of Days of Our Lives. I couldn't believe that when she told me, but she said, no, it used to be on when I'd come home from school for lunch and it would be on. And I'd watch and then I'd go back to school. Her school was literally a block away from her house. I was surprised. But yeah. Anyway. So anybody that's been dedicated enough to see 13,000 episodes of The Young and the Restless. That's a lot. I was going to watch Dark Shadows when they started putting it on streaming services from the beginning. And then they're like, well, there's 380 episodes. And I was like, yeah, that's crazy. I'm not watching all those. And then, you know, you find out that there's been 13,000 of, and some collector probably has them all. Even the old, you know, the ones that.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.